वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। हरे कृष्ण। सो सीकिंग द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल सीनियर वैष्णवास एंड वेल विशेस ऑफ ऑल द अदर्स वी रीड फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 80 टेक्स्ट 18 टू 28 तम विलोक्याच्युतो दूरात् प्रिया पर्यंकम् आस्थितः सहस उत्थाय चाभेत्य दोर्भ्याम् परग्राहिन् मूढा तं विलोक्याच्युत दूरात् प्रिया पर्यंकम् आस्थितः सहसुत्थाय चाभेत्य दोर्भ्याम् पर्यांघ्रिन्मुडा तं विलोक्याच्युत दूरात् प्रिया पर्यंकम् आस्थितः सहस उत्थाय चाभेत्य दोर्भ्याम् पर्यांघ्रिन्मुदा तं विलोक्याच्युतो दूरात् प्रिया पर्यंकम् आस्थितः सहसुत्थाय चाभेत्य दोर्भ्याम् पर्यांघ्रिन्मुदा माताजीस वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग्स स्पेशली सीकिंग ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ जयदत्त seeking blessings of Jayadutt Swami Maharaj. Tam, him, Vilokya, seeing, Achyutaha, Lord Krishna, Durat, at a distance, Priya, of his beloved consort, Priyankam, on the bed, Astitaha, seated, Sahasa, immediately. Uthaya, rising. Cha, hand. Abhityaha, coming forward. Dorbhyam, in his arms. Paryagrihit, embraced. Mura, with pleasure. Translation. At that time, Lord Achyut was seated on his consort's bed. Spotting the Brahman at some distance, the Lord immediately stood up, went forward to meet him, and with great pleasure embraced him. There is no purport to the next several verses. Will you just read the translation? The lotus-eyed Supreme Lord felt intense ecstasy upon touching the body of his dear friend, the wise Brahman, and thus he shed tears of love. Lord Krishna seated his friend Sudama upon the bed. Then the Lord, who purifies the whole world, personally offered him various tokens of respect and washed his feet. O King, after which he sprinkled the water on his own head. He anointed him with divinely fragrant sandalwood, agaru and kumkum paste, and happily worshipped him with aromatic incense and arrays of lamps. After finally offering him betel nut and the gift of a cow, he welcomed him with pleasing words. By finding him with her charmer, the divine goddess of fortune personally served that poor Brahman, whose clothing was torn and dirty, and who was so thin that veins were visible all over his body. The people in the royal palace were astonished to see Krishna, the Lord of spotless glory, so lovingly honor this shabbily dressed Brahman. The residents of the palace said, "What pious acts has this unkempt, impoverished Brahman performed? People regard him as lowly and contemptible. Yet the spiritual master of the three worlds, the abode of goddess Shri, is serving him reverently. Leaving the goddess of fortune sitting on a bed, the Lord has embraced this Brahman as if he were an older brother." Shukdev Goswami continued, "Taking each other's hands, O King, Krishna and Sudama talked pleasantly about how they once lived together in the school of their guru. The Supreme Lord said, "My dear Brahman, you know well the ways of Dharma. After you offered the gifts of remuneration to our guru and returned home from his school, did you marry a compatible wife or not?" Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Among civilized human beings, the question of ashram or spiritual order is significant. In other words, every human being must execute prescribed duties as a celibate student, a married man or woman, a retired person or a renunciate. Since Lord Krishna could see that the Brahman was poorly dressed, he inquired if his friend had been properly married and was executing the duties of household life. Since he was not dressed as a renunciate, he would be without a suitable ashram unless he were properly married. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshurunmlitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Hayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamlam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamascha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamascha Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gautushe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishbhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभयैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। At that time, Lord Achyut was seated on his consort's bed. Spotting the Brahman at some distance, the Lord immediately stood up, went forward to meet him, and with great pleasure embraced him. Hare Krishna. So, all the esteemed devotees have given a lot of their own understanding of what is going on till now, and they have covered most of it. But as is said, Krishna Tulya Bhagavat, Vibhu Sarva Ashray, Prati Shloke Prati Akshar, Nana Arthkai. Srimad Bhagavatam is just as great as Krishna. And each word, each shloka, each word has different meanings. But as Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says in Chaitanya Charitamrit, Swarupa Sutrakarta, Raghunath Vrittikar. That Swarup Damodara Goswami has described the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya briefly. And Raghunath Das Goswami has elaborately described it. Tara Bholya Varni Panjitika Vyavar. But I shall still describe it more elaborately. Just like one fluffs compressed cotton. And that is what all the devotees have done. They have really given amazing understanding and insights into the pastimes of Sudama Vipra. Akash Ananta Tate Yache Pakshigan Yara Yata Shakti Tara Kare Arohan. But I'll try according to my capacity. As Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, it's difficult to understand the unlimited pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like the unlimited sky. But each bird tries to fly according to his own capacity. Seeking the blessings of all of you, we just try to dwell over this pastime. So, in the first shlokas, the inquiries that Parikshit Maharaj is making of Shukdev Goswami, if you just see the questions that he puts up, it shows beautifully that how he is inspiring Shukdev Goswami to come up with this narration. So, what we'll be just dealing in short is this. Parikshit Maharaj is inspiring Shukdev Goswami by what specific words to narrate the pastime of Sudama Vipra. What is the qualities of the Lord that come out from this? What is the fortune of the devotee that is? And the reciprocative dealings between the Lord and his devotees. How the Lord reciprocates and how the devotee reciprocates. And how it is applicable to devotees practicing sadhana bhakti in our contemporary life. So briefly we'll try to cover these topics, how much ever time permits. So the first shloka that Parikshit Maharaj is saying, he says, Mukundasya Mahatmana Viryani Ananta Viryasya Shrotam Ichhami He Prabhu. He's using these words, Viryani Ananta Viryasya. Now it is interesting, he's requesting Shukdev Goswami at this point that please describe the valorous pastimes of the all-powerful Lord. But just now, the Lord has completed all his pastimes describing him, his physical valor. He has killed all the demons. Nothing that he is going to do before, after this. But still, Parikshit Maharaj is using this word. Please describe. So what is the valor that he is asking? What is the valor that he is inspiring Shiv Goyas Goswami to ask, to describe? Even in normal moral understanding, like we say, Shama Viryasya Bhushanam. That for a valorous person, what is his ornament? Is forgiveness. This is like the first sutra of the Jain philosophy. So what is the valor of the Lord? If we read this pastime in the end, Sudama Vipra's contemplation of how the Lord has reacted, and he says in the 40th shloka of the 81st chapter, Drishtva subhritte ajitam parajitam. This is as good as saying, Ye prayas vajito jito pasya sitasti lokyam. That the Lord is the unconquerable Lord. Yeah, and it's all his pastimes now he has shown that how he cannot be conquered by anyone. But this unconquerable Lord has been conquered or gets readily or is agreeable to be conquered by the love of his devotee. So by asking this question, he's inspiring, please describe those qualities of the Lord. Yeah. How he's subordinate to the love of his devotees. Please highlight that. And then in the next shloka, he uses this verse, Viramete Vishashagyo Vishanna Kama Margine. And Prabhupada in the Krishna book really gives a very beautiful understanding of this. And his words are so relishable. He says, Vishashagya refers to the personless, though in the translation it says, one who has understood the essence of life. But Prabhupada is giving a very beautiful insight to this. Who has understood the essence of life? For one who is a personalist, who is entrusted in transcendental variegatedness, the devotees become jubilant by hearing the descriptions of the personal activities of the Supreme Lord. Whereas the impersonalists, who are actually more attracted by the impersonal feature of the Lord, are only superficially attracted by the personal activities of the Lord. So they hear the narrations, but the import of the personality does not dawn upon them. As such, in spite of coming in contact with the pastimes of the Lord, the impersonalists do not fully realize the benefit to be derived, and thus they remain in exactly the same morose position due to fruitive activity with the materialists. So this is what Parikshit Maharaj is saying. Please describe the personality, the attributes of this personality. And what is the real aspiration? What is the devotee really looking for? And we see when Sudama is contemplating in one of the purports of the 20th shloka of 81st chapter, Vishwanath Chakri Thakur says, Sudama's statement that Lord Krishna bestowed him not even a little wealth may also be taken to mean that instead of giving him wealth that was abhuri, slight, the Lord in fact gave him the immense treasure of his association. So this is the wealth, this is the fortune that Sudama is going to receive. The association, the loving reciprocation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this pastime. And Vishwanath Chakri Thakur says later that he'll receive the fortune of going back to Godhead. So this is how, by these questions, Sukhdev Goswami is inspiring Parikshit Maharaj to really come up with this pastime. And then, of course, he becomes absorbed and then starts narrating this pastimes. Now, Sudama Vipra is described as an impoverished Brahman. In one sense, he's not impoverished because though he's saying that Sukhdev Goswami starts glorifying the ornaments that he has in terms of qualities, that he is learned, sense-controlled, detached, peaceful, and he is ready to accept whatever is obtained on its own accord. But now we can take here as an analogy that the impoverished condition of Sudama is nothing but the feeling that he is lacking in his heart, that he has not received the complete mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the real poverty that is in his heart. And that is what is actually the moroseness that is there. Just like in the pastime of Vasudeva Vipra, Srila Prabhupada highlights this point. And this is what exactly is going to happen here too. That Sudama Brahman is, his poverty is actually his impoverishment of his heart. The lacking of his heart that he is feeling, that he has not completely established a loving, respectful relationship with the Supreme Lord. Though he has been as a friend previously. But still that lacking is there. Because that is the nature of devotional service. It's like an unlimited ocean. The more you swim, the more you swim, the more there is to swim. It's perfect, more perfect and most perfect. So in that sense, not that he is devoid of pure devotional service, but still there is some lacking. And Prabhupada says this in the purport to the story of Vasudeva Vipra. That as soon as Lord Chaitanya embraces Vasudeva Vipra, he gets transformed. Not only does he become a beautiful, beautiful Brahman, but he's empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his Bhakti Shakti. Which, in essence, Prabhupada says, means the potency, the ladini potency and the potency of his knowledge. This is how the devotee is empowered. That is how his fortune arises. And this is what is exactly going to happen here. That is what is going to unfold here. Now we can see that how Sudama Vipra's wife, if you read the translation of Prabhupada in the Krishna book, this is what he writes. He says, the wife of the Brahman again and again requested in great humility and submission. And that is why he was induced by the repeated requests of his wife. Not that in one sense that she was really nagging. Yeah, but she was actually making an humble request, a submission, just to inspire Sudama Vipra to go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For a person, for a conditioned soul, when he comes in devotional service and his heart is impoverished because of the lack of connection that he has with the Supreme Personality, this is how the devotees are supposed to inspire. The whole purpose of having a community is to inspire each other in such a way that one progresses towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For whatever reasons the devotees may have come, akama sarva kama moksha kama udari. For whatever reasons, everybody has his own shortcomings. But by inspiring each other, we can push each other to the path of devotional service. And this is what his wife is actually doing. She's just making a request that why don't you go to Krishna? Please, please do that. And she's doing that not because she wants something. She wants to do it for the pleasure. She cannot just see the condition of Sudama Vipra. Yeah. And it is natural, just like Sanatana Goswami when he was doing the every day he would do the parikrama of Govardhan Hill. But when the Lord saw that he has grown old and it's got very difficult for him, he requested Sanatana Goswami, why are you doing this? No, enough. I'm satisfied with your devotional service. You don't have to do it. Similarly, Sudama Vipra, throughout his life, has lived an impoverished life. And he's old enough now. Yeah? Because the war is over and he's nearly Krishna's equal. So he's old enough now. And his wife is thus inspiring him in this way. You've done enough. So why just go and make a request to Krishna? He'll fulfill all your desires. Yeah? This is how the devotees are supposed to inspire each other on the path of devotional service. Everybody is on different levels. But by thus inspiring each one, one can move forward. And so even actually Krishna acknowledges this fact when he's about to bestow his mercy. This is what Krishna is thinking. Sudama has not come asking anything from me. But being obliged by the request of his wife, he has come to see me just to please her. So she's trying to encourage and he's accepting the request. Because she's trying to be compassionate. And Sudama has been compassionate through his life, throughout his life. He can see, he can perceive that this is what his wife is trying to give him. She's just being kind and compassionate. And in this way, inspiring him to move ahead. In fact, in the fourth shloka, this is what Vishwanath Chari Thakur says, where Parikshit Maharaj is quoting, Shirastu tasyobhya lingam anmet. In both manifestation means, both in his forms as the Archamurti and so on, and also in the forms of his devotees and so on. This is what Jiva Goswami says. That one is able to perceive the Lord not only in his Archavigra, but specifically also in his devotees. So the devotees of Mahaprabhu carrying the potency of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, should be very careful in dealing with others. Yeah? And it's reciprocal. It's reciprocal. Because once you are being kind to someone, you can perceive the kindness coming through someone else. And specifically through the devotees. So this is how she's inspiring. And Sudama Vipra is seizing this opportunity. Yeah. Once we come in devotional service, sometimes it's very big, it is confusing, it's difficult to understand what is one supposed to do. And devotee by nature is very humble. Yeah. So he's not going to push his way into someone's way to get something done. Or to prove something. But still he has to do something just to show that, yes my lord, I want to do something for you. And sometimes it can be really difficult to understand what is one supposed to do. Yeah, but here, Sudama Vipra is taking the clue. Okay, I think what my wife is saying is not wrong. What's the harm? In any case, I'm not doing anything substantial for the Lord. But probably I can just go and have his darshan. This is one act of devotional service that I can perform. So he takes it in that way. Yeah, just like we see in the case of Vidur. Now this whole battle of Kurukshetra is going to take place. And everybody is going to be engaged in this. Yeah. And Vidur is having a tough time to decide what to do. But as soon as he has this this not so pleasant moment in the palace with Duryodhan, he says, oh, this is what the Lord is indicating to me. Yeah. And Prabhupada in his, one of his conversations with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and this is what he says. He says, the devotee should be humble, brave and selfless. And he gives a very beautiful definition of humility. He says, humility gives us an awareness of the possibilities and an eagerness to achieve the service of the Lord. So the devotee is able to perceive, because if he's humble, he's able to perceive that in what way he's going to serve. So Vidur sees this as an opportunity. He seizes this opportunity. He says, oh, this is what the Lord wants to do. Wants me to do at this juncture. Yeah. He doesn't want me to take sides. So he just travels. He goes on a pilgrimage. Yeah. But what he does is something amazing. Something the whole army of, the Pandavas is not able to do. When Dhrashtra actually sends a messenger to the court of the Virat king after the exile, you know, he sends this request. So, you know, anyhow you have been living in the forest, so just continue, you are already used to it. Why you want to come back and have the kingdom? Just be happy where you are. Yeah. So this is the way he tries to buy peace on his own terms. And there Krishna gives a beautiful analogy. He says, This whole Kaurava, this whole Kauravas are basically, it's like a huge tree. The root of this tree is the Dhrashtra. And Duryodhan is the trunk. And Shakuni and Karna are like the branches and the leaves. Yeah. So Krishna is engaging the whole Pandava army, or the whole Pandava army is ready to serve the order of Krishna, specifically Arjun, to vanquish this tree of the Kauravas. And they do it amazingly well. Yeah, they do it amazingly well. And here Hanuman is coming. He also wants to say, I can do it in just a minute. Yeah, I've already done this previously in your incarnation as Lord Ram. But he says, no, this time, just be on the flag. So he accepts it eagerly. Oh, this is what the Lord wants me to do. But he uses that opportunity to create fear in the hearts of the Kaurava army just by his roars. Right? And what does Vidur do? Vidur pleases the Lord in such a way that the Lord, when Uddhav meets Vidur, he says, you know, the Lord remembered you while passing away. And Vidur is overwhelmed by this. The Lord remembered me? Why did the Lord remember him? Because the way he served the Pandavas in an amazing way, he actually, because once the army were destroyed, but the root still existed in the form of Dhrashtra. the tree could have gone again. But without participating in the war, actually did greater service to the Pandavas by just doing away with the root, by sending Dhritarashtra off in a good way. Yeah. And so this is what he's saying. Humility means one can see, one can perceive what service is awaiting me. The devotee does not get despondent. Yeah. There may be anxieties, and that's but natural. But he does not get despondent. Because he's been in the material world, and he has faced, and his dealings, he has always been so unfulfilled. So the taste is always there, that now that I've taken to devotional service, as Jayadrat Maharaj was mentioning, the anticipatory fears are always there. And this is what Sudama is going to face when he's progressing towards Dwarka. This is what the devotee faces. Because he's been in material life, because he's been conditioned for so long, he's always fearful. Will Krishna reciprocate with me in a way that I really want, which is really fulfilling? And it can be really testing at many times. And it's right from the beginning till the end. Right? In every step of a devotee's career, till he does not achieve his perfect goal. You know, I remember one of a very nice pastime that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj narrates, and he says that he was distributing books in the communist countries, and he would travel from one place to another. Usually he would have a driver, but at many times he would not. And so he would take the car and himself drive. And when he was going from one country to from one state to another, it was a long drive, and he was really tired with his previous engagements. But he had no other option but to drive himself. So he kept driving, and just as he was tired, he just lost his alertness. And because of that, he just banged into a lady who was driving a cycle. And as this accident happened, and as Providence would will, there was just a police person nearby who saw this happening. And immediately had Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj arrested. And he was put to jail. And he tried his best to get out of the whole situation, but it was really getting tough. He tried to bribe and everything, but he really didn't have much. And he was there in the jail. He says, and I was really thinking, oh my Lord, I've been doing so much service to Srila Prabhupada, but is he even aware of what I'm doing? No. Am I just going to pass away in this jail? Just, of course he was a brahmachari at that time, just as Ghanshyam Prabhu, without even ever knowing that what I've tried to do for Prabhupada, for the devotees. Because this hankering of being recognized to be valued is basically in the material world it's a perverted reflection of to love and to be loved. But when we come to spiritual life, this is what we are looking for. To be valued, to be recognized by Krishna, by his devotees, by the spiritual master. And so he was thinking in the jail that, no, I'm just going to pass away like this. And he made a lot of endeavors, you know, to get in touch with devotees and get in touch with the GBC members and all. And he did in some ways. But the reply that he got was, I think you can manage yourself. You know, we are quite busy now. We really can't help you. Just see what you can do. And he was like, oh no. For after all that I've done, this is what I'm supposed to figure out. I'm going to get out of this situation. And he said, I really was feeling for once, is Krishna really going to reciprocate? Is he going to be merciful to me? So these are the anxieties that it's natural for any devotee to have, in whatever stage he is. And of course, he says, then I was lucky, you know, somehow I managed to get some few hundred dollars and I was able to bribe this person and get out of the jail. Krishna was merciful. But this is how Krishna tests. You know, this is how Krishna tests. And these are the anxieties, it's natural to come. Yeah. And Sudama is also having his own anxieties. Am I really going to be able to see Krishna? Is it going to be possible? So with all these anxieties, he's moving out. And he's carrying with him just a few grains of chipped rice. Yeah. Each of us has come in devotional service with not many assets. Yeah. Our assets are even less than what chipped rice is. Yeah, but still, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj gives this very, this is the understanding of Prabhupada, that this is what he's saying, purport is to be selfless. And he says, selfless in the sense that we don't give into our sense gratification. Yeah. So we have these very little assets that we want to use in Krishna's service. And we always have a choice to make. Sudama had nothing. He had just borrowed this chipped rice. And it was not just a minute's journey. It was a day's, it was days. It was more than a couple of days that he had to go. But he did not use this. He didn't feel, oh my God, I'm really feeling hungry. Probably I can just take a little bit from here, you know. He didn't do that. Yeah. He wanted to be sure that these assets, that what he uses, this is what I want to give Krishna. Yeah. So we have this choice every time. Yeah. That whatever assets we have, what are we going to use it? Are we going to use it for Krishna? Or are we going to use it for Maya? For my own sense gratification. This is the point of being selfless. Yeah. And the choice is always there. And the more we challenge ourselves, the more we progress in devotional service. Yeah. And that is how a devotee can actually come out of his comfort zone. To really get finer and finer. And this fineness comes with the association of devotees. And this is what Sudama Vipra did, actually. He didn't travel all alone. He joined the local Brahmins. He joined them. He came in the association of devotees. Yeah. And that is how his aspirations got finer and finer till he reached the gates of Dwarka. So in the association of devotees, this is how our aspirations get finer. And we cling on to it. So that we make sure that we at least reach the boundaries of the spiritual world. Of course, then he passes through all the three gates, which can, I don't want to speculate, but which can also imply the different levels in pure devotional service. How one gets purer and purer and purer until he reaches the gate of the Supreme Lord's abode. Now this is very interesting. Though Sudama was in the association of devotees and he reaches at the gate of the palace of Queen Rukmini, he enters into it all alone. The rest of the Brahmins have left. So though we are in the association of devotees, we have to have our own desire, our own aspiration on how we want to serve Krishna. The devotees will take us till there, but finally it has to be our own aspiration. We have to enter all alone inside with our own desire, own purified desire. Here Sudama is having it's described that he is feeling relieved. And as practicing sadhakas, every one of us, you know, when we come to devotional service, the first thing we feel is relieved. Relieved of material miseries. Yeah. And it can come in so many ways, you know, and just like coming to a festival, just having a nice time, just being with devotees, nice prasad, and in so many different ways. Yeah, just being in a beautiful place, just in so many different ways. But then we don't give in to it. We try to move further and further. Yeah. This is the step that Sudama is going to take. He's relieved. He's very happy to be there. Yeah. All his miseries are gone. But he takes a step further and enters into the courtyard of Krishna. The courtyard is nothing but the sacred space of selfless service. Where the gopis, as it says, so many Lakshmis serving Krishna in the spiritual abode. Nothing to do actually. There's no service to do. But they're just serving because this is their asset. Yeah, what is the shloka in Brahma Samhita? Lakshmi Sahasra Seva Satya Sambra Seva Manu. He has thousands of Lakshmis there, eager to serve. There is no service, there's nothing to clean, but they're just brooming, they're just cleaning, they're doing something just to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as soon as we take a step there, the Lord will come running to us to embrace. And this is what is going to happen here. That just coming and the Lord runs forth. Yeah. And I'm just reminded of this beautiful book of Sanatana Goswami, Brit Bhagavatam Brit, with Gopi Brandan Prabhu has written, and Jayadvait Maharaj and Keshav Bharati Prabhu have mercifully edited for us. And it described that how Gop Kumar has a similar experience. As soon as he enters Vrindavan, Krishna comes running towards him just to embrace him. Yeah, and he's overwhelmed by the reciprocation of Krishna. He's overwhelmed by the reciprocation of Krishna. And this is in every step. This embrace of Krishna is just not in the final destination. It is at every step that a devotee can feel in different ways. Yeah, through his holy name, through his deities, through his prasad, through his paraphernalia, through the devotees, in so many different ways. Yeah, and this is just a lively demonstration of what actually the prachetas are hearing from Narad Muni. Yeah, after they have passed their life in family life, they have gone to Narad Muni to take this instruction. That please instruct us again. You know, being attached in family life, you forgot the instructions of what Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu had given us. Please instruct. And this is what instructions they get. Shriyam anucharitam tad arthinascha tripad patin vibhamscha yat swapurnaha na bhajati ne jabhritya varga tantraha katam amum udvisarchayat puman kritagyaha. So here he says, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient, he becomes dependent on his devotees. He does not care for the goddess of fortune, nor for the kings and demigods who are after the favors of the goddess of fortune. Where is that person who is actually grateful and will not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead? This whole pastime of Sudhava Vipra is actually a lively demonstration of the instructions that Narad Muni is giving to Pacheta. Shlok by shlok, exactly. It's a lively demonstration of that. And here we can see that how practically he is with the goddess of fortune and just leaves the goddess of fortune to go and embrace Sudama Vipra. And of course now what we can see is the reaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in detail and the reaction of his devotee. This is the real fortune. Yeah, Rakshiti iti vishvaso goptate varnam tatha. So yes, the devotee is very very enthusiastic. Yes, the Lord will protect me. But what is his real nourishment? Is the way the Lord maintains him by his loving reciprocation. Through so many different ways. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, when he was first touched by the conch shell of the Supreme Person, Rishnigarbh, in the form of Rishnigarbh. Yeah? And he gets overwhelmed. The first thing that develops in him is gratitude. Yeah, being touched by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is what he says, that how, like the cow protects his calf and nourishes him by milk. So this is how the Lord is, that the Lord protects the devotee in various ways, but nourishes him by the nectar of his reciprocal relationships with the devotee. And this is what Sudama is really going to experience here. Already the Lord, by embracing Sudama, has made him fortunate. He's embraced him by the same chest where the goddess of fortune resides. He gives him betel nut, tambul. Yeah, betel nut is, you know, in Vaishnava theology, betel nut and kumkum and this tambul actually represents Lakshmi Narayan. Yeah, so he's making him fortunate. He gives him a cow. He gives him a cow in charity. And what is cow? It is in which Lakshmi herself resides. That is fortune. So already he is indicating you are going to be fortunate. He's already indicating to Sudama Vipra. Yeah, but what is the real fortune? Is this real fortune of reciprocal relationship. Yeah. This is how Krishna is, Leela Purushottam. Amazing pastimes. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even a step further. He is not waiting for the devotee to come to him, but he's rushing towards him. This is what he does when he goes to South India. Yeah. How is he preaching? He's not waiting for anyone. He's just going and embracing. Mahapratapputra is so hankering for the embrace of the Lord. And the Lord, in some way, it keeps him away. But then after testing his determination, in some way, you know, just falls on him. Just embraces him. Yeah. And this is how actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is not what he even reveals in Navdeep Dham. Yeah. Being put off by the Samartha Brahmins here, there. But here, he's just embracing, ready to give. Yeah. this is where he actually embraces the Vipra, Vasudev Vipra, who is conditioned by this leprosy. And when he comes to that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come, he's very eager to meet. But when he comes to the house of Kumar Brahman, he sees, oh, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left. I can see him no further. And understanding that, he falls unconscious. Seeing this humility, the Lord is attracted back to him. And he comes and embraces him. And when he embraces, immediately his abominable condition is done away with. Yeah. So this is the embrace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he is ready to embrace each one of us who has taken to the shelter of his lotus feet. He is not waiting. That is the difference between Krishna and Mahaprabhu in one sense. He is Namo Mahavadhinaya. He is sweet, but his prominent quality is this magnanimous. Yeah. Krishna's prominent quality is he's sweet. But Mahaprabhu is ready to embrace. He's not going to wait. Uttama dhamma kuchna vichar. He's not seeing what qualities do you have or how much you are, what are your positions. No, he's just eager. Just come to my fold. Just accept me. And I'm ready to embrace you. Yeah. So that is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. That is his magnanimity. So now after being thus embraced, Sudama Vipra then starts contemplating of what he has received. And we just have maybe some few minutes. So I'll just make the points. I won't elaborate in detail. But we can see how beautifully Sudama Vipra is actually contemplating. This is what he is thinking. So the first thing, as we can see in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, the first thing he gets the touch of Krishna is his heart overflows with gratitude. And this is exactly what happens with Sudama Vipra. So how can one know that one has been touched by the embrace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? The first thing is that he develops humility. Yeah. It's everywhere, all the servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the Panchatattva is showing this attitude. Everybody wants to be a servant of Sri Chaitanya. Advaita Acharya, he is the one who actually called Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu down. But he also wants to be the servant. He's so fed up that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dealing in him in such a way that always dealing in respect and awe and reverence. He wants to be his servant. And he's ready to do anything for that. Even to the point of preaching impersonalistic philosophy. Of course, we don't have to do that, but that's his mood. And he gets into ecstasy. Oh, now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted me as a servant. This is the attitude of a devotee. He's always looking to be the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Always looking for some service. And this is what actually enlivens him. This is what keeps him going in devotional service. And then he can feel the touch of Krishna. And getting this is what Sudama Vipra is thinking. He's perfectly satisfied in having Krishna's audience. He thinks, oh, Krishna has, is a friend to the Brahmins, and I've seen it for myself. He has heard this. Yes, Krishna is friend to the Brahmins. It's just like when we see something in the Shastras, we hear something in the Shastras. It's a different thing when we experience it. Yeah? And this is what exactly Sudama Vipra is feeling. Oh, yes, I've seen it. I never expected this is how he was stunned for a moment. That is why it comes here that Krishna holds Sudama's hands and starts talking with him. Because he senses, Sudama Vipra is probably thinking, the Lord, I suppose, has not mistaken someone else. Probably he was expecting someone else and, he thought, oh, this is the guy, I should make it clear to the Lord, it's not me. No, it's not like that. That's why he takes his hand and says, no, it's you I'm reciprocating with. And that's why Sudama is jubilant. Yeah, and he just remembers, oh, I've only heard that he's jubilant to the Brahmins. I'm not even a Brahmin, I'm a Brahma Bindu, that's his humility. See, I'm a Brahma Bindu, I'm so poor, I'm so wretched. He's not able to believe it's me, it's going to be me. Yeah. But this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to convince us. Yeah, move on with confidence. Yes, it's for each one of you. This is how Krishna is going to reciprocate. And that is why Sudama's story is such inspiring. And he says, he who carries the goddess of fortune on his chest has embraced me to his chest. And his, memory is like reminiscing on the sweet reciprocation of Krishna. Kwaham daridra papi yan kuha Krishna shriniketana. Brahma bandur iti sammahan bhubhyam parirambita. He has embraced me One who carries the goddess of fortune has embraced this poor, lowly, sinful Brahman. He's thinking of himself sinful because he thinks his poverty, his condition is because of his sins. One can only be poor if he's sinful. That is how he's thinking. This is the exact verse that Vasudeva Vipra repeats on being embraced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah. And he thinks, oh, how kind and compassionate Krishna is. The first thing, when he doesn't give him anything, he feels, oh, you know, Krishna is the right thing, because he knows that I cannot use it in the right way. But when he comes back, and he sees the opulence, he says, oh my God, Krishna is so generous. Even though I'm not deserving, he's giving me so much. Yeah. So in both ways, this is the nature. The devotee tries to glorify the Lord, and the Lord tries to glorify the devotee. And this loving reciprocation is what gives nourishment to a devotee. Of course, and what we need for this is what Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport, is his disciples are writing, is Varnashram Dham. Anukul Issa Sankalpa Pratikul Issa Varnam. So it's not dependent on Varnashram, but it is Anukul. Yeah. So when Ramananda Rai is discussing with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, Aage Kaharar. Say something more. He's not discounting Varnashram in one sense. He's saying, no, it's something more. Yeah. Nad Upadeyade Ratam Shramevai Kevlam. Otherwise, just be like, if Varnashram Dharam doesn't help us to progress in devotional service, it's just more hard work. So just some points on Varnashram Dharam, and then we'll just end, because we've already gone over time. So Mahaprabhu is actually saying him to push forward, is because he just wants to make sure that simply by performing one's occupational or ashram duties, one cannot conquer Krishna. Also, he wanted to do away with the karma mimansa, to know that the true importance of duty vis-a-vis the Lord. And also to do away with impersonalism, that the system will reward us. No, it's not the system. And it's the faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not implicit, but this is what people generally think. He did not reject it, but wanted to go beyond it. Naham vipro na cha narpati. So we are, every one of us is different, and we want help. And of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come with this Golokera Premadham, directly imported from Sri Golok. And we don't need the Varnashram system. But Prabhupada said, we are not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have to assist people in taking up this process. And that is why we have to institute this Varnashram Dham. So this is the way, when we go beyond religious belief system and experience devotional service in such fulfilling ways, that is what can keep us going in devotional service. Hare Krishna. Just the last quote of Srila Prabhupada, then we'll end the class. Krishna does not like to see his sincere devotees suffer or become frustrated or depressed. He will not stand idly by in any such case. So do not fear on that account. Krishna has got some plan for you. Always think in that way. And very soon he will provide everything to your heart's desire. This is what Sudama is thinking. He says, oh my God, Krishna has fulfilled all my desire in such an amazing way. Even though I have not expressed it, he knew exactly in my heart what I wanted. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. We've gone over time. Thank you.